Okay. We're going to take a minute and we're just going to pray. I know we just did that. We're going to do it again. And I'm just taking a look around right now. I'm just thinking and praying. Okay. We've got multiple things going on, so I just want to take a minute. And first, just want to pray for Marsha and for Laura and for Chalissa. And for the grandkids. Our dear brother Jim is gone to be with the Lord. And so we're going to be, I just want to pray for their family and just for strength. And I know people have been bringing them dinners. I know last night, and again, I know they're doing it tonight. If anyone else would like to help with that, we're going to have a service here. I think Marsha wants to have it this upcoming Saturday. I think it's at 11 o'clock, Gary. Is that what she determined finally? 11 o'clock. You guys are absolutely welcome to come. And Jim is such a wonderful, man. And why I say is because he's saved and he's born again. And so Jim is still alive. He's just changed home addresses. And so I want to pray for him. I also want to pray for my friend Isabella. I don't know if she's here. I think I saw her earlier. She might be in the kids' church. Just want to pray for her. Don't even know what I should say. Her mom is very ill, and I believe they're calling in hospice. So I want to pray for her and her family. And then a few other people, just pray for them. I know we're up to about, I think, 3, 4, maybe even 5 people who want to get baptized. Wow. Which is amazing. And I know you hate the attention. Diane, could you just stand up for one quick second? Would you stand up? Come on, please, please, please. I know you hate it. This is the beautiful, wonderful Diane, everybody. Okay, you may sit back down. Now, she just got baptized. And so I also just want to, you may sit. I just want to pray for her. I want you guys to pray for her. She came to me a while ago and she wanted to get baptized in the church that her dad got saved in.
Oh, wow.
And it's a beautiful thing in Ontario and Canada, so that had to be a little freezier than it will be here. But we're so grateful, and I know you've been coming here for a while, and I know when you came up, God is just speaking to your heart, and I just remember you just talking. I thought I was doing well, and now I realize, man, I really want to follow the Lord now. Now I understand. Now I really want to seek him. It's about Jesus. That's what my life's about. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's what I got from what you were saying. And I want to get baptized and give my life. And she was so worried about offending us that she was getting baptized somewhere, which, of course, we just are thankful that she's growing in the Lord and getting baptized. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
And so I saw a little video of that this morning. It was a beautiful thing. I just want to pray for all these things and for those, there are actually others even. So let's just take a minute. Lord, you know who is hurting here. Lord, emotionally, Lord, you are their support. You are their help. You are their comforter. You are their ever-present help in times of trouble, Lord God. Lord, I do pray for these families, Lord God. You know all their needs intimately, but we love them dearly. And I know our love just pales in comparison to your love, Lord. So just like you were so with Marsha, Lord, on that day this week, Lord, when we picked her up, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name you would continue to be with her and their family, Lord God. Continue to be with Isabella, Lord, support. Thank you for this body coming around each of these families, Lord, and ministering Jesus. I pray all the more that we would draw near to him so at the overflow of our hearts, Lord, you might spill out, Lord God, and we might understand the brevity of life, Lord God, and all the more draw near to you and minister you to others, Lord. I pray for Diane. Bless her. Thank you for speaking to her heart, Lord. I think of Vicky just in tears a few weeks back, Lord, now wanting to get baptized, Lord. And the others that have said that they want to get baptized. I think it's this Saturday at our house. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless them and protect them, Lord. I know just the enemy hates what you're doing here, God. I know that he hates it. And he's trying to throw every stick in a spoke. He's trying to trip up everybody he can. And so, Lord, I just pray for you to protect them, Lord, to make their calling and election sure, Lord, that they wouldn't do this lightly, that this would be a big step in their life, a transformational step, Lord, that they're choosing to take with you, Lord. I pray for those who have been baptized a few months ago. I'm sure the enemy is throwing everything and anything at them but the kitchen sink. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for their protection and that, Lord, that you would just bring them back into protection of the herd. And Lord, that you would wash over them with the word. I pray for your people here today, Lord, that you would speak, Lord, to these people, to each one of us today. We want to hear from you, Lord God. That's who we want to hear from. We want to be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, and challenged, Lord, to live a life worthy of the gospel. So bless your people, Lord. Minister to all the hurts emotionally, physically, Lord, mentally. You know who's going through depression, those type of things. You know all things, Father. But I know that you're faithful, Lord, and you're bigger than all these things. So, Lord, be with each person here, Lord God, and as we open your word today, in Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. Okay, come on and have a seat. There's still a few more seats up here. If worse comes to worse, we'll just sit on the floor. And hey, Vixter, I don't know. Does Dale have? I forgot if I gave him his book. Did I ever give him that second book? I did. Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, here's a couple things we're handing away. We just had extra. We were cleaning out some stuff. Okay, I got a couple of Bible studies. One from Max Lucado on the Lord's Prayer. If anybody would like that. It's yours, free as a gift in Jesus' name. And one here is a little commentary through the book of 1 Peter. If anyone would like that, it's a free gift in Jesus' name. Which one would you like? Yep. There you go. It's called Be Hopeful by Warren Wordsby. Excellent. Yes. Okay. Would you bring that down to her? Thank you so much. Okay. I have a few others. Oh, Lord's telling me not to skip that one. Okay. Sure. Okay. So here's a few others. Okay. This is actually, I would now say this is in my favorite book column. Yes. This is probably now in my top 20 favorite books. Okay, this is a book that you'll find challenging, but revealing. This book is called Not a Fan, and it's about being a follower of Jesus Christ, and not just a fan. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to a baseball game. That's not this Wednesday. Next Wednesday. And I'm all for the Bradenton Marauders, right? You know, we're going to be there. But you know what? I'm a fan. I'm not really a follower of the Bradenton Marauders. I'm really more there to be with my family, to have some hot dogs, some peanuts, fellowship with you guys, right? And I think a lot of people, maybe get a t-shirt, but I think a lot of people go to church and they're more fans. And so this is powerful. I made all the teenagers read it, in the school last year, the year before. So this is a great book. Everybody should read that. If anyone would like this book, it's a free gift. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Yep. And I actually have one for teens. So I'm going to get one. I happen to, you know, that's so funny. You would raise your hand, Ella. Oh, you have a question? Sure. Okay. Okay.
And is this easy for someone?
Yes, fantastically easy to read.
Really?
For like me. Yes. So, and actually I had, oddly enough, I had not a fan for teens. And I thought, why do I have this? I think I got it by mistake. And then Ella, you raised your hands. And then I thought, huh, okay, God, obviously you had to work. So, okay, so two things. Somebody asked me also, any of these yet? Oh, yes. Also, parenting book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, one of my absolute favorite books. It is deep, but it is fantastic, getting to the heart of your child. Now listen, if you take these books, you got to read them. to go. You ready? Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Okay, good.
My brain's happy to take a bath after you
read. You know what? But I like to highlight and underline. I so they're precious to me. But whatever you want, if you want to bring it back to recycle, you can. And I don't think I'm going to do the rest of these. I think I'm just going to keep them right there. Also have one more extra large Team Jesus shirt. Actually, double X. I've got double X.
Oh, I want
one. Dude, you are so not a double X, dude. No, you are like a small or something. Nothing personal. Here you go. Try this size on. See if it fits. Okay, double X in the back. All right, Laura, you ready? Okay. Coming. Don't. I probably hurt a little child there. Oh, good, Ella. One back. Okay, I got one more small. One more small. Small. Last one.
Let's see that one.
You ready? I used to be a pitcher. It was in Little League. That was about 5-6 years back. Okay. All right. So this is kind of funny, too. Okay, so you remember if you were here last week at the Home Fellowship Church sweatshop? The AC was not working.
No.
And so we went through, a lot of people were trying to help, checking the back. Okay, so this is what we found out. So we have a little sign on the AC now. Somebody who didn't understand the AC too well turned on the heater.
Oh, no.
So while you were enjoying the fellowship, the only thing we didn't check, because the temperature was set, it was just somebody had the heat on us the whole time. So on the positive side, the AC works now. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. So I get here this morning. I'm so excited to show you that video. Remember, that wasn't working. George had it already. I got this fantastic PowerPoint. I literally have like 30 slides. Spent a long time making. I get here. George goes, you are not going to believe. I don't know what's going on.
Oh no.
He's like, the entire computer. This is a brand new computer. Because remember, this was just electrocuted. I don't know, jolted by lightning. And he's like, it just, for no reason, completely died, and we're restoring it now. So he's like, you can't do your slides or the video. I was like, And then Joel came up, and Joel was just standing there. You know, Joel's so quiet. He was a missionary for many years, so still is. He's standing there waiting for me to get done, and I'm trying not to panic. I'm like, okay, Lord. And he just opens the Bible. He's got a verse, just points to it. And it was the exact verse that I needed to hear. The Lord used him. So we are going to go through, it's kind of funny, what we're going to be talking about this morning is patience in trials. The Lord gives me visual illustrations. When I say visual, I mean experiential, real life illustrations. I think because I'm just that type of a guy, so it makes more sense to me. However, I don't always enjoy them. When they happen. So I was thinking about that. As soon as he said that, I thought, oh, no, let's pick a different one, Lord. Like maybe we can't go to Cracker Barrel after the service or something like that. That'd be a trial. And there are some times when I make up the teachings and I have it all kind of written in my Bible. And then there are times, sometimes I just put it all on slides thinking, okay, well, I don't have time to put it in my Bible. This was one of those times where I put it all in the slides. So Joel's word was basically from the Lord, I felt, was just to trust in him and trust in the Lord. He's okay. So we are going to, as we go through the scriptures, trust in the Lord that he's going to bring back to memory what he wants you to hear. Those were some dang good slides. So I'm still hoping that they come up. But if not, and that illustration. Oh, but I'm going to trust the Lord in it, and we're going to trust the Lord in it. God brought you here, and he has a message for you. So whatever the enemy's trying to do to hamstring you, to get you down, to get you discouraged, stop you from coming, don't you let him. Nothing's going to stop the word of God being preached. The word, it says, will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose that he sets it out to do. So do not let the enemy stop you. Don't let, especially if you go, so you getting baptized, I am sure right now the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to trip you up, cause you to stumble, hurt your heart, whatever. If you've just gotten baptized, same, so pray for them. Pray for them. Yes, ma'am. I don't know who's.
About the baptism?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, yes. Let me.
I don't have your home address.
There's a reason for that. No.
I remember delivering lasagna to your house, but yes. I don't know where it was.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Could you text that?
We do like the lasagna. No. Yes, can I text that? The answer is yes, I can.
Okay.
Gary also has that information.
Andy, just remind me and I'll text.
Yes,
okay,
that's probably
you.
A good idea. Now, I will tell you, it's this upcoming Sunday, right, after church. So listen, you're all invited. Vicky, are you raising your paw? It's been on the slides for about the last 3-4 weeks. Yeah, it was a date you picked, by the way.
No.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's been on the last slides probably 3-4 weeks. So we're going to do that, and it's going to be at our house in the pool. So no flesh-eating bacterias. Nobody has to worry about that. And this is what we'll do. We'll just go. So come. This is normally casual. So if you want to come in shorts or you want to change out, you just wear your shorts or your swim trunk shirt, whatever. We'll just have a few hot dogs. There might be 5 people. There may be 55 people. There may be 105 people. I don't know how many is going to come, but we're welcome. And whoever wants to be there to encourage them, to pray over them, that's what we're going to do. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So. And that is Sunday after church. Is that right, Gear? Yeah. Is it this Sunday? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Is there anything? Okay, Bible studies this week. Men's?
Yeah, men's this Tuesday. We're going to have full pork and how to build a firm foundation.
Okay, Tuesday. Okay. Men's Bible study in 1 Corinthians. And then also on Wednesday, I think we're also have a pool party.
Yes, we do.
The youth pool party at our house. Okay, so we'll send out the address for that. If you're not on the text chain, see myself or Gary, and we will make sure that you get that text. Thursday is Share Jesus Without Fear. Woo-woo! And so it's probably a little late to join that Bible study, but it's a really good time. And then we also are starting another Bible study. Really? Why do we have so many Bible studies? Because we want you to grow and be strengthened in the Lord so that the enemy can't take you out easily. And so we're starting another Experiencing God Bible study. We're doing this. We've never done it. We're running out of days to have Bible studies. So we're going to do this one on a Saturday.
Oh, during the day?
So this is brand new for us. We're going to be doing it Saturdays starting at 10 a.m. And it's going to be in a few weeks. Gary, when is it?
Well, first,
it was on the slide.
We did.
There, thank you.
We didn't pick Saturday because we ran out of days. We picked Saturday because that's when the Lord wanted us to do it. And that's the first
thing.
But
we were still running out of days.
Well, we are running out of days, but that's a different issue. And it's going to be 10 a.m. here. And clarify, we want people from, they don't have to be part of our body. And that Jen's already invited a half dozen people from other churches to join us. And that. So, and we probably next week we should have a sign-up sheet so we can figure out how many books to order.
Yeah, the bottom line is we just want to disciple people and encourage. Now, our first goal, God has put us as shepherds here. We want to disciple you. However, you know what? They're his sheep, and our goal is to disciple whoever comes through that door. And this is a fantastic Bible study for you to grow in the Lord. One of the reasons, Nick, and I think it was Diane, I remember you saying, man, if we ever do, I want my wife. You took it and you were just like, it was so awesome. This was so incredible. I want my wife to take it next time. So you're part of the reason. And so we just want to encourage you to come out to this Bible study. I would almost, if the Lord's calling you, there is homework. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be like 45 minutes, hour homework every night. I'm telling you. It is probably the best investment you will ever make, period. And it's about a 14, 15-week Bible study. So, yes, Chantel in the back. Yes. Absolutely, yes. If you didn't finish it last time, you take it again. Yeah, I take Bible studies multiple times. It's too much. It's like taking a drink from a fire hose sometimes. Like, not that I've done that, but I'm just saying. So yes, you are absolutely welcome to do that. And you know, the funny thing is, I didn't have you print out those slides this morning either. So
I think I'll print them out.
I could have had that as a reference.
We also have a calendar that needs to be printed out. We'll have all of that stuff on there. So should I go print them for you?
No, I don't know. You know what? Why don't you pray and ask the Lord about it? I'm just going to continue, and I'm just going to do. So anyway, open your Bibles if you would to James chapter 5. We are coming to the conclusion here of James. If you need a Bible, the kind-hearted Chris will grab some Bibles and bring them right to you. If you don't have a Bible, tell Gary or myself, and we will get you a Bible free as a gift in Jesus' name. We just want you to grow. We encourage you to start in the New Testament. Pick a book of the New Testament and then just start reading it. Chapter a day keeps the enemy at bay, or two or more, or keep them out of the door. So we've been going through the book of James, these command imperatives like a 50 caliber machine gun, one after the other. We just read a really hard, a strong word in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, about, you know, those of us, and I was this person for almost 30 years. You know, you come to church and I would just write checks. That was my church service. You know, look good. I made sure I look good, wear a nice outfit, because I want to look good. And then write checks. Look spiritual, write checks. That was my goal. Not seeking the Lord, not growing, not doing these things. What a waste of a life. God has so much more. So now, those first verses, he's talking about these. A lot of the rich, they were giving them special attention, and they were oppressing the poor, doing some bad stuff. And he was telling them that, hey, riches are nothing. What does it profit a person to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? Who cares how much money you have? Who cares how much prestige you have, how much power, how much wealth? Would somebody mind reading for me, anybody who has that? Let's just read real quickly James chapter 5, 1 through 6, and we'll just have you read it through, and I'll try to shut up for a few seconds. Yeah.
Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you.
Now, James loves people. So why would he speak these hard words? And here's the thing. Again, if you're finding your salvation, I remember talking to a guy, and I was talking to him about the kingdom of God, and I remember standing in his, and it was like a palace. And he's like, this is my kingdom. This is my church. And I thought, oh my gosh, when you die, let me tell you, it's all going to burn. And I mean everything, including you. Listen, what does it matter if you gain all that stuff, if you lose your soul, the essence of who you are? It doesn't. What you do with your life, your time, your talents, your finances, you invest it in the kingdom. And I'm not saying, listen, this is not a cheap ploy to get you to give money in the tithe box back in the back. That's why we don't even take up an offering. You give, but you give it back in that little tithe box. It's investing in his kingdom. That's what it's about. It's bringing people to him, training up your kids, seeking the Lord yourself, letting it spill over. And now he's going to talk about, patience and suffering. And trials. And do you mind if I have somebody else read? Let's just read it through. And I'm going to have you guys read James chapter 5, verses, let's say, 7 through 12. I think that's all. Would somebody raise your hand and we'll bring that microphone to you if somebody doesn't mind reading it? Or we can just stand here in awkward silence. Either one, whatever's better for you guys. Oh, good, we have a radio voice. Okay, go ahead.
Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment.
Good. Thank you. Great job. Now, it's interesting. In the book of Job, it says in the book of Job that that mankind is destined for trials. And it says, as sparks fly upward from a fire, so is man destined for trials. Now listen, why is that? Why do we have these trials? Why do we have to go through this suffering? You know, why does this happen? And that goes all the way back to the garden, all the way back to creation, all the way back to when we sinned. Originally, it wasn't like that. There was no suffering. There was no sorrow. There was no pain. But because of our sin, because of mankind's sin, right? Sin entered the world. And so because of that, there's toil, there's weeds, there's thorns, there's trials, there's suffering, there's death. You know what? Listen, as far as death, there's basically a 100% chance that we're all going to die. It's just the when. So what do we do with this time? It is important. And so we're all go through these trials. Jesus said something in Matthew 16, 33. He says, you know, he's telling them all these things. He goes, I have told you these things so that in me, Jesus said, you may have peace. Not in finances, not in power or prestige or husband or wife or a house or a good job or whatever, a family even. Those are good things. But it says that in me you will have peace, Jesus said. In this world, he says, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So we're all going through it. If you're not going through it now, you will. It's just going to happen. It's a factor of life. Everybody goes through it. Everybody, every one of us is going to go through it at one time or another. He says something in this particular verse, and he's talking about, remember, in the last few verses of James, you know, he's talking about there was a lot of rich people, powerful people, prestigious people, and they were oppressing, you know, the common folks, you know. And they were doing that. And God wants us to be patient in trials because he wants us to trust in him. And as we learn, as a Christian now, as we learn to trust in him, we're going to see that he's going to work all things for our good. Even the knucklehead stuff that people do to us. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How many people have been damaged severely by people? Raise your hand. Okay, that's a pretty high number. Now, when he says, you know, patience and suffering and patience and trials, I want you to go back like one page to James chapter 1. And this is what it says. This is what Jesus is saying to the Christians, to those who have found hope, because our hope isn't in this present world. If we're saved, my hope isn't just for here and now. My hope is in glory. It says that he's going to wipe every tear from my eyes. He's going to right every wrong. I'll be with the Lord forever. There's a heaven and a hell. The choices you make here on this earth, what you do with Jesus, what you do with his word, his son, tells where you're going to be headed. And so he says this to Christians. He says, I want you to consider it. Or some of your Bibles might even say, count it pure joy, brothers and sisters. It says, when you face trials of many kinds, he says. And listen, guys, we're all going to face them. He's saying, Christian, I don't want you to run. I don't want you to do the Monty Python, run away, run away. I want you to face these trials, knowing that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. He says, man, I want you to consider it whenever you face them, of many kinds. Listen, you're going to go through it. He says, and this is the thing, because you know, the Bible says, you know that the testing of your faith develops what? What does your Bible say?
Perseverance.
And perseverance must finish its work. And here's the reason why, the Bible says, so that you, Amanda Panda, so that you, Dave, so that you, Natalie, so that you, Chalissa, so that you, Erica, may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Can I tell you something that I hate to admit? I experience a lot of pain, and I haven't grown to the point to where I can say I count it all joy. Do you know what I'm saying? And that doesn't mean we're sadists as a Christian. So we're like, oh, more pain, yahoo! You know, what he's saying is you count it all joy because you know that the Lord's going to work it for your good or for the good of others around you. I can honestly say that all that pain that I've experienced in different ways, now that I'm a Christian, helps me to lead other people to his doorstep. Not to a church, not to a denomination, not to him, but to him. Do you see what I'm saying? Because now I've gone through it. Listen, there's a stark difference in your life. I hate to say it. There's a stark difference in your life when you can go up to somebody and you can read them a Bible verse. Okay? That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's powerful. Word won't return void. If they're going through a difficult time. But can I tell you something? If you've gone through that difficult time yourself, and now you bring that, well, they know you understand. You can now not just sympathize, but empathize. Do you know what I mean? I know your pain. Listen, honey, I know where you're coming from. Well, you don't understand. Oh, I do understand. And you can minister Jesus Christ 10 times more effectively. So count it all joy and know that God's doing, allowing you to go through whatever you've gone through so that you can be mature, so that you can be complete and not lacking anything. This part right here, when it talks about being patient, some of your Bibles will say patience or perseverance. The word in Greek here is hupomone, and it means like that steadfast, patient endurance during these situations or circumstances you're going through, trials. Now, the reason why I say that is because when we turn the page back to James here, James chapter 5, when it's talking about be patient, my brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming and he starts going on here. He's not using that same word, hupomene. He's not talking about being patient in situations, in circumstances, in those fiery trials and those type things. What he's talking about, guys, is he uses the word in Greek called makrothemeo. Makrothemeo, and it's a different word. It's only used about a handful of times in the Bible other than here in James. And what it means is, it means long-suffering, but it means to be long-suffering with other people. Do you see the difference? Okay, we're experiencing a financial difficulty like I have never seen. We're not because I was doing my job well, I wasn't grumbling, complaining, it just the company went out of business, now I'm losing my job, lost my home, this is a trial. Lord, help me to honor you in this. Help me not to freak out and lash out at other people and lash out in this or you know, you're getting oppressed at work or something. This is talking about, I want you to be patient, makrothemeo, with people. In other words, if these folks are oppressing you, and you're being oppressed because you're a believer or whatever, I'm talking to brothers and sisters here, Christians, I want you to be patient with other people. I want you to be long-suffering. I don't want you to avenge yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's, I don't, maybe you don't. Maybe you guys are all just super wonderful, patient people. But in the flesh, without Jesus Christ, you get me. Let me tell you what I want to do to you. I want to one-up you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you hit me, I hit you harder. Boom! You want to, you hit me again, I'm going to hit you harder. I want to get back at you. You're going to mouth off to me? I'm going to mouth right off at you. See how you like that? You want to cut me down? I'll cut you down. That's, you want to take advantage of me? I'll take advantage of you more. That's what my flesh says. The Holy Spirit says, that was your old self. That's not what you're like anymore. I want you to be patient with people. I want you to be long-suffering. I want you to bear their grievances. Ah! But Lord, that's really hard. I know, but it's also a fantastic witness. When people speak all things against you, that's when God wants you to repay cursings with blessing. He says to pray for those who persecute you, right? What? Seriously, you're going to pray for that person? Yep. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Yep. Because that's the heart of the Lord. And that's, I had somebody, I had a good friend that we went out to sort of a lunch, went to McDonald's, and he was telling me, he was asking me forgiveness. He was really appreciative. He's like, I used to speak to you so disrespectfully, you know, all the time, Pastor. He's like, I was mad at you for this and that and the other. Why didn't you just lay into me? Why didn't you just lay me out? I can't believe how disrespectful I was, how cruel I was. I gossiped about you. I did this and that. Why did you allow that? And I said to him, because it wouldn't have helped you to come to know the Lord. And I said, and I don't think you would have received it at that time. I don't think you were ready for it. And he stopped. He thought about it for a minute. He said, you know why? You're right. I wouldn't have received it at that time. And then, of course, he just went in to apologize. I'm so sorry I did that. I talked bad about you. I said, it's okay. It's all right. We give that up to the Lord. Now, did I enjoy that whole time? Was I thinking, woohoo, persecution and trials? No, I didn't like it. But my trust was in the Lord. And because I patiently bore up under that, God was able to use that. And he'll use it in your life as well. Oh, thank you, honey. I even get two waters.
No, one for me.
Oh, that's so funny. Got it. God is so funny. That's right. Love you, sweetie. Yeah, no. It's James chapter 5a.
I know
there's no 5a on there?
Not from today's date.
Yeah, that's all right. We're going to bear up patiently in trials. Thank you so much for doing that.
Well, you have the Holy Spirit, so.
Amen, sister. So anyway, so then he said, I want you to be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. He says this, you see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop? And how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. He's like, you too be patient. Listen, if you're an impatient person, don't ever be a farmer.
Right?
I mean, if you have kids, okay, I remember one of my kids planted this little popcorn thing. A little seed or was it? I don't know if it was a pop. Yes? Okay, popcorn seed. Well, now I don't know if I can use this illustration. Anyway, one of my kids planted a seed. And you know, what he would do was, okay, he planted the seed, right? And then he would go back out the next day and just look at it. Yep. We'd be watching it. He'd be looking at it. Nothing happening. Okay. That's all right, tomorrow. Tomorrow's a fresh new day. And he would come back out the next day. Now we're cooking with gas. We're ready for this thing to grow. Yep. And you know what? Nothing. And nothing the next day, and nothing the next day. And you get the idea, right? Because if you're a farmer, you know that it takes a while for that seed to germinate. It takes a while for it to grow, to spring roots, to grow up, even to get out of the ground, right? Let alone growing higher and higher and higher and higher. Get it, Jess. It takes a while. And then, to be honest, if you're a farmer, there's a lot of things that are out of, what if the frost comes early? You know, what if, what if it floods? There's so many things that are out of your control, right? But you have to trust, and you patiently wait because you want that harvest, right? Mm-hmm. You want what's coming. Now, in Israel, you know how it says in your Bible here? It says, yields a valuable crop. Well, let me tell you, your patience when you're going through trials or when other people are being a jerk, when you're showing Christ, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, by the way. Patience, nobody likes that one. But it's a fruit. It's what other people are supposed to see, right? You see an apple on a tree, a fruit, right? They're supposed to see that in your life. If they're not, then you need to get to do business with the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be more patient supernaturally. I can't do it on my own, right? I am impatient with people apart from the Lord. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Help me to grow in this area. But it says how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains, or some of yours might say the early rains and the latter rains. Well, in Israel, the rain falls in autumn, like October and November. That's when it first falls, and what it does is it softens the ground. Now, Israel, if you've ever been there, Gary, how about it? We're talking hard soil. Okay, we don't know hard soil in Florida. No. Okay, I can go right out there right now, and I can dig my hand in. I probably don't even have to dig it in. I just scoop it up, right, and it drips away. But even in the drier times here in Florida, I can stick my hand in the dirt and pull out a big old chunk. Okay, when I go over to Israel, this is what it's like. It is hard as a rock. You need those early spring rains. And what it happens is around that time, it softens up the ground. It softens it up and makes it ready for that seed to go in. And then it says those latter rains. And then the farmer, he has to wait. He has to wait a long time. Not a day, not a week. He has to wait many months and months and months, a long time for that harvest to come in. Doesn't he? In the same way, Christian, we're the same way. And then the rains at the end does the same thing. The latter rains that happen in Israel usually happen around March or in April. It comes right before the harvest. And it gives those that harvest, that last bit of fruit and that last bit of life, so that the fruit can be as healthy as possible. And so God's saying, like as a Christian, you be that same way. You're planting the seed. That seed is the word of God. That seed is them seeing the word of God lived out in your life, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're seeing that grow in your life. You're being patient with them. Listen, I don't want to deal with you. See? She said, you hear what she said? She's the same. But that's our flesh. I need to crucify that flesh that says, you know what? I need to be patient with you. As Isabella grows, she's going to be a knucklehead sometimes because she's still growing. Especially the younger she is in the Lord, the more she's going to be a knucklehead. But even those older Christians or middle-aged, semi-younger Christians. Anyway, we're going to mess up too because we're not perfect. Isn't that true? It happens. We need to be patient, long-suffering, bearing one another's grievances. And not, we're giving it to the Lord. Oh, I didn't pray for Brittany. Oh, please forgive me, Lord. Okay, sorry. Yeah. And I didn't read that email yet. I'm sorry. Sorry, I lost my train of thought right there.
Suffering.
So anyway, just like that as a Christian, we need to be planting the seeds. We need to be tending the ground. Now, the farmer, he doesn't just sit there and wait, does he? No. Planted it. Now I'm taking, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months vacation? No. put my feet up? Does he do that?
Nope.
What do you think he's doing out there? Taking care of it, right? Tending it. Make sure the pests stay away. Look at these newly baptized. You don't think that they've been had pests and everybody coming after them? Some of them aren't here. Did you notice that? Oh, Lord, pray for them. Reach out to them. Call, because they're going to be attacked more than ever. The farmer's working. Now, he's still waiting, mind you, right, for that harvest. But he's working all the time. You as well. We need to be working the whole time. He hasn't saved you so you can sit there and be a little pew potato. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, sorry. He's called you to work. He says, Jesus says, listen. He said, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. And he wants you to do it his way. Not your way. My way would be just to sit in front of Netflix. And just, you know, okay, call me when you need me, God. He's like, no, I want you to be proactive. I want you to do some stuff. Make some calls. I want you to do this, do that. He wants you working. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He wants you working. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And here's what I found. A lot of people, when they want to work, they want to work their own way. Do you know what I'm saying? This is the worst. Christians. Us self-centered Christians. Yeah, I don't mind working. This is what I'd like to do, Pastor. I would kind of like a ministry where I can just kind of come in and I'd like to do this, but I don't really want to do any cleanup. I just want to minister. I just want to teach, and then I just want to leave. Or I don't really want to be bothered with the children, but maybe I can, you know. Listen, God wants you to work and to serve the way he wants you to work and serve. Ask, if you want to know how, ask Gary. We have so many needs in this church. You guys are so faithful. We have so many wonderful people here serving. I don't want to take it away from anybody. You know who you are. You're faithful. Thank you. But the Lord may be challenging you to do a little bit more, to work, to serve while you're waiting. We could use the help, but we have to do it the Lord's way, not the way we want to do it.
Hey, Pastor. You know, we always joke that, oh, I don't want to do the cleaning. I want to do this and I want to do that. Well, you know what? You know what's easy for me? The cleaning's easy for me. So sometimes we have to step out of that too.
Absolutely.
And we have to work with the people.
Yes. And you know what? How about this? This is kind of funny too. This is what we need. Oh, I don't really want to do that. I really want to do this. Well, that's not what we need. Yeah, but this is what I want to do. That's not what the Lord needs. That's not what we need right now. Oh, okay, sorry, I can't help. But we have to be patient, right? Because they're growing. Now, someday they're going to realize, oh my gosh, I'm being so self-centered. They're in such desperate need for help. We need people discipling people like yesterday. But got to wait. Gary, you had your hand up earlier. I'm so sorry. And I forgot.
About the rain, it's fascinating the early rain is actually a softer rain. If the ground is real hard, rain will bounce off of it. It'll just flood away. It won't actually penetrate the ground. And so the early rain softens the ground so that it's prepared for the harder rain. And the Lord knows that about us as well. When we're tested and we're, you know, facing those things, the Lord knows where our limit is, and he provides the early rain before the heavier latter rain.
It says as it goes on here, it says, verse 8, it says, listen, you too, okay, you, Christian, you, Lisa, you, Nate, you, Olivia, you, Nick, you, Bill, you, Brett, I want you to be patient with others. And you know where it's hard to be most patient? With your family. Because when you feel like, okay, now I can let it go a little bit. You know what I'm saying, right? Kids, wife, church family. No, that's when, just the opposite. You need to work that much harder. It says, you too, I want you to be patient. Same word there, macrothumia, with people. And he says, I want you to stand firm because the Lord's coming. Now, when it says stand firm, I don't know if any of your Bibles say anything different. Maybe be steadfast, possibly. Establish your heart. Yeah. Good. I was trying to find a particular Bible verse there. I'm not finding it. So that tells me I should have wrote it down. Why did I do that? But God wants us to stand firm in the faith. It says in Corinthians, it says, I want you to stand firm and let nothing move you as a believer. Now that, I would even translate that, I'm not changing the translation, but I think it means that stand firm and let no one move you. A lot of times we can be I'm loving the Lord, doing Jesus. We come in, somebody's a little snarky with us. Maybe they've had a really terrible day. Maybe they just fleshed out for a second. And they say something or they do something. The enemy's like, I got you now. And they're tripping you up. Now I'm so mad for the whole rest of the day. And all that. Oh, and I'm so mad at that person. I'm going to totally not forgive them, even though that's not what Jesus would like. Oh, that church. Oh, I'm so mad they didn't do it just the way I wanted to. Why didn't they do that one worship song? Nate knows I like that worship song because I told him one time 3 years ago. And he doesn't sing it that way. And do you see what I'm saying? Listen, he wants us to stand firm and to let nothing move us or let no one move us. For the sake of the Lord. Listen, I hate to even say this. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're his representative. Think about that. When you get baptized, I want you to really think about those of you getting baptized. You're being called to be an ambassador. If the president called you to be an ambassador to Canada, Diane, you would be, I want to represent America well. I want to be with integrity. How do I represent, right, this country in a way that's honoring, right? It's the same way with the Lord. You're being called to be an ambassador for Jesus to other people. What an amazing calling. That's higher than any president can call you. That's the King of the universe saying, I want you. And I'm thinking, why would you choose me? Choose Delaney. She's really good with people. Why would you choose me? Erica can talk nicely with people. Nate's really great at it. Yeah, I want to choose you. Joe, I'm choosing you. Heidi, I'm choosing you. That's a beautiful thing. And then he says, but I want you not only to stand firm, because the Lord's coming. Is near. And then he says, don't grumble against each other. Listen, this is an easy thing to do, that grumbling. The word in Greek, it sounds like an Italian word. It's a stenazo. All right? Doesn't that sound Italian to you? Doesn't sound Greek? Stenazio. Stenazo. And it means, it actually means to grumble, to complain. It literally means this. Oh. To sigh or to groan. Oh. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen somebody when you're dealing with people? It's them. Oh. I didn't even say anything. Now, Laura, I'm going to use you as an example because you know my heart better. If Laura came up to me and I saw Laura's walking up to me and I go, oh. No, I didn't say anything. Or did I?
Right.
Listen, none of us are perfect. The pastor is not perfect. The pastor's a person just like you who just loves Jesus and is letting him do a work in his heart. And I always share my failings so that you know this stuff's real. I was talking to a couple of, well, I call them friends now, and friends this week, and we were counseling together, and I was frustrated with somebody at the time, and I grumbled about them. I complained about their attitude.
I can't imagine you doing that.
Yes, and I did. And you know what I had to do? So I can't imagine you doing that. I'm a person just like I stumble as well sometimes. And you know what? I had to humble myself afterwards. I thought, dang it. And of course, the Lord's so faithful. Of course, as I'm studying, don't grumble. Yeah, but it was their bad attitude. They had a bad attitude. It's not my fault that they had it. But you're sinning right now. You're doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to call them both up individually, call, text, both. And I said, you know what? Will you please forgive me? I grumbled against this person. It was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. God's working on them, just like obviously he's working on me right now. Listen, he wants us to be patient with one another, with one another's faults, helping each other to grow, right? You can lay the hammer down. Scott, you could be the hammer time, you know, bah! And sometimes you might have to lay the hammer down. But most of the time, he wants us to use other tools in that tool belt. And it says judgment is coming. The scripture says he wants us to live in light of the Lord's coming. So there's some great Proverbs. I even can't remember even what they were right now. But the Lord's coming back and he's going to judge everything. It says in Proverbs, whether he does it now or he does it when he comes back, no one's going to get away with anything. The Lord says in Romans, it is mine to repay, says the Lord. Don't you start getting impatient with people. Well, obviously God's not taking care of this person, so I'm going to have to wind up. Pow! No need to thank me for that one, Lord. He wants us to be patient with others. It says, Lord willing, I'll show you the scripture verse next time around. But it says that everyone who does wrong, all the wicked, they're going to be repaid. And the righteous are going to be set free. He's going to take care of everything. And he wants you to trust him as you wait for that harvest. Trust that he's going to take care of it. Does that make sense, guys? He will take care of it in the long run. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody is accusing you of wrong, right? That doesn't mean that you should not say, speak the truth or something like that. Or somebody, you know. But, yeah. Did you have a question?
I'm running it through my head.
Okay.
In today's society, okay, within this body, within my family.
Yes.
I consider you my family.
Mm-hmm.
I could never imagine
mm-hmm.
being judgmental. Okay.
Uh-huh.
In the outside world, there are decisions that you must make
uh-huh.
to protect others.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's not judging the system.
Okay. Now, you might not have been here a couple weeks ago. We actually talked about that exact same thing about judging like 2 weeks ago. I will get you that CD. God does want us to make judgments.
Mm-hmm.
We have to as Christians. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want us to judge harshly, critically, impatiently.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
If you remind me, send me a little text or give me a quick call. Thanks. And I will get you that. It's like an hour teaching. He goes on to say here, he says, listen. He says, the judge is standing at the door. He says, brothers, and as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You know, I think about some of those things when I think about the prophets. Who did the prophets speak to, guys? Who were they sent to in the Old Testament? All these men of God that we consider, you know, that they would have certainly considered like, wow. You know, okay, other believers, right? That's exactly right. But you know what? He told, Jesus even told a parable. And he said, when he was talking to his people that should have been expecting his coming, he said, listen to this parable. This is in Matthew 21. He said, there was a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he put a wall around it, dug a wine press, and built a watchtower. This is in 21:33, Matthew 21, verse 33. Then he rented a vineyard to some farmers, and he went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to collect the fruit. But he said the tenants seized his servants. They beat one, they killed another, they stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more and more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his one and only son. They will respect my son, he said. But the tenants saw the son, and they said to each other, hey, this is the heir, God bless you. Come, let's kill him so we can take the inheritance. So they took him and they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants, you think, that killed his son? What? That's absolutely right. Jesus said, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the share of the crop and the harvest. That's how they treated the prophets. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. He says, oh, Jerusalem. Jesus is looking over Jerusalem right now. He's looking over his people. He's saying, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you together to me, like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Listen, people who tell the truth, you know, the whole world's going to, we're going to have trials, but if you're a Christian and you're bringing truth to people, most people aren't going to really appreciate it. I thought, oh, I'm a Christian now. Wow, God's given me all this neat, cool stuff. What? Everybody's going to love it because it's so amazing. Surprise. People weren't quite as amazed as I thought. In fact, they kind of resented me for it. And you know what? If you're a truth bearer, if you're of Jesus, you're going to be bringing the truth to others. And they might not always receive it in the way that they should. And they might even receive it like they received those prophets. They might call you names. They might attack you. They might whatever. Because that's what folks do. He says, consider Job. He gave another one. You think of the prophets, what they had to go through. You won't think it's strange, the suffering that you're going through. You know, it says, I want you to consider Job. Now, if you don't know the story of Job, he was a righteous man. I worked a lot on those slides. He was a really righteous man, okay? And he said, you know what? Satan was out, you know, trying to trip people up. And accusing the brother, it says he does it day and night. It's accusing you. And God's like, you know, have you seen my servant Job? He said, he's blameless. He loves the Lord. If he reverently respects me. And he says this, and he said, oh, that's only because you bless him, Lord. That's only because you bless him. You take away all those blessings, and you bring some suffering in his life. You watch it. He'll curse you to his face, your face. You know, can I tell you something in all honesty? Can I tell you a lot of quote-unquote Christians? Oh, they really love the Lord when they're being blessed. But when things don't go their way, it seems like that sort of melts away and you see what's really underneath. So maybe the Lord might be showing you that right now to show you what's in your heart so you can correct it. Or maybe a lot of those quote-unquote Christians, maybe they're not really who they think they are. Maybe we should examine ourselves, see if we're not, whether we're in the faith. But so he said, you take away the blessings and you watch. He'll curse you to your face just like I do. And so he said, okay, I will allow it. And terrible things happened to Job. He lost his family. He lost his homes. He lost his stock. He was a rich guy. And he lost all of it. Like one right after the other. The only thing he didn't lose, this is kind of funny to me, in a sad way, was his wife. And you think, oh, what's so bad about that? Here's his wife's advice. He got sores all over his body. His wife is like, you know what you need to do? He's just give it up. He needs curse God and die. Wow. Now you know why Satan left her. Oh, we'll keep you, honey. Job said, you're talking like a foolish woman. He's like, should we just take the blessings of God? And not the suffering? Should we just honor him when it's good and not when it's hard? Right? Who do you think I am? But later on, Job said, you know, you've tested me like precious metals. You've refined me through the fire. And it says that he comes out even stronger than I was before. And even Satan even left friends who gave him terrible advice and told him, ah, the reason why you're suffering is because you're such a terrible sinner. You don't have faith. You know, you're a... And it wasn't that at all. So, but when he came out of that, it said God restored all those things to him. He had more herds and more... You get the idea. Because he trusted in the Lord. Okay. You got a Bible verse, though?
Is that the one you had me find you?
Oh, thanks. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is trying you, as though something strange is happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceedingly joy." Yeah. The bottom line, and in all these things, we need to learn to trust the Lord. And then he finally says, he closes with this. This will be the last little bit here, and we'll leave it here. It says, "Above all, my brothers," this is in verse, what is that, 12? "Above all, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you'll face condemnation." Now, here's what I heard just really quickly. This is what it's not saying. I've heard Bible teachers saying, see, that means you shouldn't cuss. You shouldn't swear. Okay, let me tell you, that's not, you shouldn't swear and you shouldn't cuss, because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, right? He says, don't let any wholesome speech come out of your mouth, coarse joking, but just build up others. Well, he says, oh, that's swearing. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, God says, hey, when you say Jesus and you use his name, or GD, you use the King of Kings and the name above every other name for a curse word to express poop to people. He says in Exodus 27, he won't hold those guiltless who misuse his name. Okay? But it's not talking about that. It's not talking about that kind of swearing. Okay? What it's talking about is swearing an oath. And you guys maybe did this. I don't know if you did this as a kid. I did this a lot. Okay? I did this a lot for my whole life. But I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on my mother. I swear on my mother's life. Do you ever do something like that? I swear on the Bible. I swear on the Holy Bible. Right? Now do you ever, why do people swear like that? Here's another one. What was it? This is what I use a lot. I can't believe the Lord didn't like toast me back then. Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I cross my heart on it. Why do you think people swear? Why do they make these oaths? They want people to believe them, right? Because, you know why? Because by nature we're liars. Most of the time we're liars. So now I'm going to really invoke the name of my mother's life. I'm going to invoke God's name. I'm going to do something. Now you'll see how serious I am. Now, listen, if you got somebody saying, hey, loan me $50. I swear to God I'll pay you back. Swear to God. This time, I know I didn't pay you last time. Swear to God. Totally swear to God. Swear to God this time. I'm going to do it. Swear to God. Now somebody's telling you, I swear to God. They're doing that much. Do you know what I'm saying? That tells me, red flag. Listen, what the Bible is saying, listen, you don't need to do that. If you're a Christian now, right? It says Satan's the father of lies. Listen, before I got saved, king of lies. Well, no, I'm not the king. Well, I was one of the princes. But I would lie all the time. It was common speech for me. Now that I'm a Christian, well, it says Jesus is the truth. So every time I speak truth, I'm honoring Jesus. Every time I lie, I'm really honoring Satan. That's his native tongue, it says the Bible. So I want to speak truth. It says that my word is truth. In John 17, 3, I think, it says my word is truth. So everything about Jesus is true. So here's what he wants you to do, Christian. Here's what he wants. He wants you to be so true that you know people start to realize when you speak now, you speak the truth no matter what. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, when you're going through a trial, right, that's when people, do you see what really comes out of them? We start to lie, we start to, right? God says, I want, when that's squeezed, when you're squeezed like that, and you're enduring that suffering or whatever, all the more, I want you to be truthful no matter what. I want you to be faithful so that people know when you speak, Vicki, you're not going to compromise because you serve the Lord. Even if it means you get in trouble. Like I had to go tell those people I grumbled against. I had to say, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? That's embarrassing. It's humbling. But it's truthful, isn't it? And God will use that maybe in their lives. Wow, the pastor's doing that? Maybe I could do that too. Who knows? Regardless, it's the right thing to do. He wants you to be so true that when people look at you, they say, you know what? I no longer doubt you. You used to be a liar, Dale. Now, when you speak, I'm going to believe you because you're proving yourself to be a man of your word, even if it means embarrassing yourself. I'm going to speak the truth no matter what. No matter what. Because when I tell you about Jesus Christ, then when I tell you about Jesus, you know what? I'm going to listen to you because I don't know much about you and your life. But I know when you speak, I know this one thing about you. I know you're truthful. So even though I don't want to believe in this and bend my knee to the King, to the Creator of the universe, even though I don't want, I'm at least going to listen to what you have to say because I know you speak the truth. So just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else comes from the wicked one. Does that make sense? Good. All right, any closing thoughts before we wrap it up? Sue, yeah, would you run that mic back there real quickly? Thank you, Lord.
You know, when you say speak the truth no matter what.
In love.
I was at work and I got called into the manager's office and it's like, you know, you did this and this, and I'm like, I'll fess to the one thing. But I said, the other thing, I said, you didn't see what you thought you saw.
Yeah.
I said, and I told her, and she goes, so you didn't do that? And I said, no, I didn't. She goes, okay. And she crossed it off, and she says, but she said, I'm going to write you up for this other thing. I said, that's fine. Give me the paper. And I signed it.
Yes.
You know, so it's sometimes it's not necessarily the big things. It's
yes.
The little things.
It's especially so, the little things.
That one little thing established my credibility by saying, yes, you this is correct. I did
yes.
this, but
yes.
I didn't do this. And this
absolutely.
Is what you saw. And she goes, so you're telling me you didn't do that? And I said, no. And she goes, okay. And she crossed it off the paper.
Absolutely. Amen. So you guys just speak the truth no matter what. You don't need to swear to God. You don't need to take an oath. You need to. And I'll leave you with this scripture verse and we'll pray. Because listen, if you're going to be patient with people, if you're going to speak the truth and love to people, not everybody's going to receive it. They killed the prophets. They attacked them. They're probably going to attack you too, right? Nobody likes that. That's why consider the cost of following Jesus. Consider it. Am I, when I make this step for my baptism, no matter what happens? Really, don't do it unless you are, God, I need you. Whatever it takes, I'm going to follow you. Listen to this. But when they do insult you and stuff, this is what it says in Matthew 5, 11 through 12. I'll just read this. Or maybe 10 through 12. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because of Jesus, not because they're acting rightly, not because you're a knucklehead. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus said. He said, when they do that, he says, I want you to rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, if that's happening to you, you're in really good company. You're in the same company as Elijah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, John the Baptist, Stephen the martyr in the New Testament. They stoned him. And you're in the same company, Jesus and all the apostles. You just be faithful to the Lord no matter what happens. And that was through death. All the disciples didn't leave a totally blessed, money-filled life. Did they? If you know church history, you know that was just the opposite. But they were waiting a better kingdom. Their hope was not in this earth. Their hope was there. And that's where my hope. That's where my hope. When I say hope, I mean confidence. That's what the word in Greek means. Confidence. I know what I know. You guys need to decide if you, on your own, what you believe. But as for me and my house, Lord, I want to serve you. Help me to be working and waiting while that harvest comes in. Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in doing good. Especially those of you who've been serving the Lord for a long time. It says at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. If what? You'll reap that harvest. The Bible says, if what? You don't give up. Father, I just ask that you bless your people here today, Lord God, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, challenge them, whatever you need to do, Lord God. Would you work in their hearts, Lord God? Lord, I pray that every seed and word of God we've planted deep in their hearts in good soil, Lord God. I pray that it would grow to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times, Lord. And I pray that we would be patiently working while we're waiting for your coming, Lord God, trusting in you, Lord God. We love you and we bless you, and I ask that you bless this body, Lord God. And I also pray for Whitney, Lord. You know what he's going through right now, too, Lord God. I just pray in Jesus' name that you would be with him and heal him up and use this situation to draw him to yourself, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.